So we're starting a new sugya now. We're going to come back to some of the cases that the Gemara, some of the issues that the Gemara raises after it finished discussing Sanim and reported mentions the statement of Rapapa, which we're going to get to now. We'll come back to those afterwards. So the Gemara cites Rapapa, Amar Rapapa, Haiman, the Kafte Lechavre, the Ashkil Le, Bitka Demaya. Geri Dideyu Mechayev. So Rapapa says that if you have somebody, Reuven takes Shimon and he ties him down somewhere, and he somehow brings forth a flood or a gush of water and kills him in this flood or gush of water. So the Gemara says that's Geri Didei. That's his chaitz, his chayev. But Hani Milim Koach Rishon, this is true specifically if it's the Koach Rishon. But Koach Sheni, so there we're going to say Pater. Why? Because Grama Bamo. But Koach Sheni, Grama Bamo. Okay, so this is a rather large sugya. Before we get anywhere, though, we want to just first identify what we're discussing here. And here are primarily two questions. First of all, what is the method of unloading the water here? That's what the terminology we use until we determine what exactly we have here. But somehow you unloaded water on this person. So what does that mean? How did you do that? What was the method? So the Ramah is the one who really addresses this explicitly. And he explains that what we're talking about here is where you have some sort of dam or a barrel of water, and there's a slab or a sheet of wood or metal, some sort of material, which is blocking it from leaving the dam or kli, the chavis. And so you remove the impediment, you open up the dam, and it flows through after that. So you're being meisir hamoneah. Whatever it was that was blocking it from moving, you are now removing that. This is something that Rashi says too in Chulin. Rashi in Chulin, on the Sugyat of Tassayin, which we'll get to later, but just in terms of defining what the case is, so he actually mentions two different variations of this. One is Shenikev Nekev Bisfasamai, so you made a hole in whatever's holding it up. And then he says, different time he says that there was a Dafa Ma'akev Bisamai. The case there is a little bit different, which we'll get to, because it talks about a wheel, Gagal. But you basically remove the sheet which is preventing the Mayan from going forward, and it then flows forward. And in this case, this is the case of Bitka Demaya, where the Gemara says you're Chayav B'Koach Rishon and you're Pater B'Koach Sheni. Now, according to these Rishonim, and many Rishonim seem to assume this, they seem to assume the Gemara is at the very least discussing the case of Hasaras Moneya. So if that's the case, we can ask, first of all, what would the halacha be for other methods of unloading the water? Is it just Orchad Milson Nakat, or no, that other methods would be a different din? Let's say, what would other methods be? So we'll discuss a few. Let's say if I've overturned a barrel of water over the person, holding the hand in my hands, or say just tipping over a barrel of water. We'll discuss a couple of others as well. So the simplest thing to say would be that in Hakanami it would be the same there. It's just Orcha de Milsa. It happens to be this. What we're discussing is this case where you remove the impediment, but it wouldn't be any different if there was some other method by which you unloaded the water upon this person. Or perhaps the Gemara discusses specifically this case in order to be mechadesh that this case of Hasaras Moneya too has this din. But in Echanami, the din is actually the same regardless. Or perhaps no. Perhaps the din would be different in these other cases. For other cases, there would be no chilaf between Koach Rishon and Koach Sheni. And then if that's true, that could be for one of two reasons. It could either be, and probably the most likely is, that even Koach Sheni might be chayav, if we're talking about some other cases. Or in theory, something which is sort of intriguing, but seems less likely, if it's other cases, somehow even Koach Rishon will be Pater. So that's something we'll have to see. And we'll have to also see whether or not it's even universally acknowledged. The case of Bitka Demaya, where the din is Koach Rishon Chayev, Koach Sheni Pater, that Hasaras Moneya even is included. Perhaps not. Perhaps specifically that case actually wouldn't be this din, according to others. We'll have to see. So that's one issue. What is the method by which the water is being released upon this person here? And then the second issue, just in terms of, again, factually defining what we're discussing here, what is Koach Rishon and what is Koach Sheni? So here we find three interpretations in Rishon. And all of them are mentioned and discussed by the Yad Rama. The first is that the difference between Koach Rishon and Koach Sheni is Koach Rishon is the Mayim Hayotzim Miyad, or the Kiluach Rishon, the first gush, the first flood of water, versus the Mayim Hayotzim La'acharkach, versus the water that isn't the first onrush of water, but the water that leaves the utensil, the dam, afterwards. There is a technical issue, just how would we distinguish, and Rishonim who discusses mentioned that there's, you know, it's hard to identify what would be the first, what would be the next. Perhaps it depends on what would come out, even if you just were to immediately reclose. Whatever it is, the initial onrush of water That's koach rishon. The water that comes out afterwards is koach sheni. So this is one interpretation of the Rama. And it's also the clear implication, this is clearly how the Rashba understood this in Mishmeres Habayis, which I adduced as a makor. Do you guys see that? In Bayis Vav Shar Dalid, Rashba also, we'll get to it eventually, also clearly indicates that this is how he understood it, koach rishon versus koach sheni. It's the kiluach harishon versus the kiluach sheni, as well as the Meiri and the Kudras Besiyat. Here he also identifies koach rishon versus koach sheni as an issue of kiluach harishon versus kiluach sheni. That's one interpretation of rishon. Second, there are rishon that understand that koach rishon refers to the case where the mayim falls directly and immediately upon the person, versus koach sheni where it doesn't. Now the pashas of this, and this is Rashi, the pashas of this is that what we're talking about here is whether or not the water runs along the ground at all, or immediately falls upon, immediately in the sense of it doesn't run on the ground at all, it just goes directly upon the target, the person, whatever it is that we're discussing. Right? So if it runs along the ground at all, that's going to be considered koach sheni. This is explicitly the Rabia. The Rabia, who's the gift that keeps on giving, right? So he, in his tshuva, I'm sorry, in the Siman Taf Kuf Samach Zayin, which we've referred to several times now, so he mentions our sugya, and he thinks that this is an indication, or that this is what the Gemara is saying. He says, Haiman the Kata the Chavre, he introduces his idea that it's not kocho or masa when it runs along the ground. He says, V'hadar minan hasa, meaning in Hanasrapid. Haiman the Kata the Chavre, Ashkala le bitka de maya. Ha'u koach rishon. Ha'inu shashtivu mamash etzala kiluach. The Bahadi the Ashkil, himisu le alter b'masav. The koach sheni mikre, afilu b'hachaka mu'etes shemayim is goglin abadi. So that's what he views this as an instance of what he was saying, namely that anytime something runs along the ground, it no longer is koach. So the universal implications of it, according to the Rav Yehuda, we're going to set aside, just in terms of his understanding of what the sugya is referring to. Koach rishon is when it falls directly upon the thing, the target. Koach sheni is after it runs along the ground. And that's what Rashi sounds like as well. Rashi here, koach sheni shenichu racho ksas lo nafla mayim miyad betzeso migidrusayin alav ela achar mikan hachu ala makam shushan. Slightly different interpretation. This is within the second interpretation that we're talking about. Not the difference between the water that comes out first versus the water comes out second, but the question is just whether or not the water is falling on him directly or not, is to say that even if it's a little bit of a, it's a little less likely interpretation of Rashi, but I believe I saw Rishon that in a certain way, that even if it runs along a little bit, it could still be called Rishon. It's just the difference between Makam Karov and Makam Rachav. That if it's only running along the grounds for some small distance, then it's going to be koach rishon. It's more distant koach sheni. Obviously, that gets into the question as well of just defining that. But just fundamentally, that would be the difference. Then finally, the third interpretation that the Rama mentions, and you don't really see others pick up on it, but the Rama mentions koach rishon versus koach sheni. The koach rishon is even after it's hit the ground, and it sounds like for the Rama, just on this point, that it doesn't even have to be the initial gush of water, just as far as this criterion is concerned, even after it hits the ground, it's considered to be koach rishon so long as it flows unimpeded. Koach sheni is when there's something that impedes its progress, and then it's only the other water that dislodges it from its having been impeded and resumes its flow. That's koach sheni, according to Rama. Okay, so that's just in terms of what we're discussing. But now the question we want to turn to is first and foremost, the chiyuv koach rishon, whatever it is this pashut? By that I mean, whatever koach rishon is, the fact is that there is some case of unloading water upon somebody where you're chayiv ritzicha. So is that something which is obvious to us once we know what we've seen until now? Namely, kocho kegufo, and it's truly in yunitzicha as well. So once we know that, so is this din here that you're chayiv koach rishon, is this obvious or no, that this is... there's something new here, that there's something which wasn't self-evident, we may not have known, had we not had the Gemara, that we haven't seen yet until now. So let's just start with a case which really is obvious, which is, the Rav Pasha, given kocho, tzchai b'rzicha, and that is, a case where, let's say, I propel the water, let's say there's a bowl of water, and I wave the bowl, and then abruptly stops, so that the water is flung forward, based on my having waved the bowl. So that case is mamash a case of zrikas chetz, of zrikas evin. So in this case, it's not evin or chetz, it's just water. It happens to be I'm holding a bowl because it's hard to hold water in your hands. But that case is pashut, that you be chayev midin geire, because that's just precisely different.
In the case of zrikas chetz.
What?
It goes up, down.
whatever the din is with regard to, well, that's the, one of the things that we skipped, which we'll come back to, because the Gemara itself comes back to. Whatever the din is in those cases, it'll be here too.
Right.
Right. Meaning, in the end, we're pretty liberal about it.
War is the same as the things.
What?
The war is the same as the things.
It's the same as the things, exactly. therefore, there's no question, Michayev, there isn't much of a chiddush in that. The only thing is, it's pretty clear what the Gemara is not discussed in that case. It's just a mincius, which is probably very unlikely to have come by. I mean, you have enough water to be able to throw it and to kill somebody with it. Nobody seems to have assumed this is the case. And the question we can ask is whether or not the din would be the same as far as koach sheni. That's something we'll come back to. Maybe in that case, koach sheni, you wouldn't be putter in that case. But that's a case which is pashut. The second case, which we can raise, which is, I think, the most similar to that, but involves a slight leap, is a case where you're holding the barrel in your hands, and you turn it over, still while holding it in your hands, or you put it between your knees, and you pour down on the person. Okay? That case, unlike the first case, unlike the case of Zrigas Evin, or the first case of the Mayim case, where you take the bowl and you wave it and then come to a rough stop, in this case, you're not propelling the water forward. It's falling down on its own, based on gravity. Right? The equivalent case of chetz or evin would be, let's say you have a chetz or evin in your hand, and then you let go. So, what about that? Is that kochad? So I sent you guys some korosins also. So here is machlokas rishonim, and we've seen this. Rishonim says this, namely
Yadarma.
Well, Yadarma does address this case, does address it here, but we'll come back to that after. The Rashba. The Rashba in Toras Abayis, this is the Rashba that we have seen before when he, in the context of our discussion about Garmi, where he discusses the Gemara and Bava Kamma and Chavav and Beis that we've also mentioned a couple times, where a person is Haisa Evan Nachasel Becheiko, and then Rashba probably didn't have the gear, so it seems like Amma, but you did something, somehow it fell off of you. So in that case, the Gemara says, you're Chayev Ben Nezek, you're only Pater Migalos because of Anus, and you're Chayev Ben Lasel Shabbos. Your partner because of Matzah Shabbos and Shabbos. Okay, so the Rashba says, right, this is the Rashba's Shita, and then he also says this in Chidushin Chulin, Lamed Aleph, that any time you have something falling from your body, so he thinks that that is Kocha Gugufa, whether or not there was Kavana, Sheyipol or not. Right, any time you have something Nofel, Mi Gufcha, even Shlabach Kavana, and even though it's not you propelling it, it's simply you sort of letting go. You allowing it, you know, you releasing your grip. Even so, and in fact, the Rashba thinks it's true even if you weren't aware of the object at the time that you moved your hand. Still, he learns from the Gemara of Kama, you're going to be Chayav Nezek and Golos, and according to the Rashba, therefore it also worked for Shechita. Right? That's considered to be Koach Adam. And therefore the Rashba says when the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Lamed Aleph, which you've seen, says Nafla, the Mishnah rather, says Nafla Sakin Yado. So it's no good. Hipula is good. So he says, Nafasakin means Aidei Ruach. You were holding it there. It was just resting on your hand. And then the Ruach comes in and sweeps it off your hand. In that case, the Gemara is saying it's no good. But otherwise, that's Kocha. Oh. So that's the Shita of the Rashba. The Rush in Chulin and Perek Beis, Simin Ches, so he disagrees with this Rashba. He thinks that Nafla Miyado, Shelo B'Chavana, isn't Koach Gavra. Merely having something fall from your body when it's unintentional is not defined as koach gavra. But it seems clear, according to the Rush, if you were to do it intentionally, meaning you let go of it on purpose, so that certainly would, according to the Rush, be koach gavra. The chiddush is, this is sort of a pu'ula where it can be co-opted, you might say, or it can be viewed as you sending it down if you're doing it as an intentional act. If it's unintentional, it won't be. This is, I think, pretty clearly the Rush, the Rush is... the Rush's position.
Since he didn't have kavanah at all, that's his whole point.
Yeah, so he was saying, therefore, you wouldn't be chayiv shchita. It wouldn't be shchita sheira in this case because nafla miyado shelo be kavanah at all. Even though you don't need kavanah shchita, you don't even need kavanah chaticha ba'alma. But you need kavanah to have the thing fall from your hand. So this is what he says. And the problem if you don't have that. Is just that it isn't koach gavra, then it isn't v'zavachta kasher v'zavachta v'chavda mashita zaveach atachel, you're not being a zaveach there. So this is the Rush. He says, Tamid enough l'ha'apilu k'sher av'avagadon l'chavin l'shum chaticha. Elish niskabin lapila, Korean bit is a vakta vachata, kivish niskabin lapila. By a deos napila shachta. So that's nisasik be shkita's kun is a good shkita, there's no problem with that. But then he adds, aval nafla sakin miyada belochavana. Havi kimo, shem haisa munachas ala korav vi pilasa haruach. The lo Korean bit is a vakta vachata. Why? Kivish niskabin shum davar. The time of the Rabbi Nachman, the Lobaina, the Machos of Gemara, the Lobina Kavana Klal, the Chulin, the Gali Rachman, the Misasik Apostle, Dapka Bekachi. And even if you could have said then, you know, Vabla Chaticha Lobay Kavana, the Halok Siva Chatachta, Elab Zavachta, is an interesting point. And this is Umiu Belochavana Shum Dover E. Efshar, Midak Siva Zavachta, the Havi the Chola Pachos Kemo Vasisa, the Tsarach the Skavi the Shum Dover Maisa, Ubein Acher, Lo Mikre Koch Gabra. Okay, so the rush is pretty clear. The issue here is there's a chisaron in koch gavra. It's just not defined as koch gavra in this case. But that's specifically shalva chavana. And this is actually cited a lot. And the tour cites this, and it's also the shulchan aruch in Simon Gimel in Yordaya, where he says, "Vapil hibel halsakim biyado oberagosh shalva chavana klal v'shachat shchita sokshera." Fine. Aval inafla me'atzma psula. The beinan koch gavra. So nafal miyatzma is a regular case of, let's say, ruach, or even if it wasn't in your hand, let's say it was on the table. But then he says, but even if it's in your hands or in your lap and it falls shalom b'chavana, then it's nafal miyatzma dami and it's possible. So that's clearly the rush. But the implication is, if you were to have done it b'chavana, so there's no problem. That is considered koach gavra. Okay, so we come back to our Gemara now. So we had asked, let's say the method that one is unloading the water upon this person is that one is taking a barrel of water and flipping it over and pouring the water over the person's head. So what would the din be in that case? Right? So we said it depends what the din in the equivalent case of chetz or evan would be if you were to hold the chetz or evan in your hand and simply drop it and allow it to fall out of your hand. So it seems that according to both of these Rishonim, whether the Rush or the Rashba, it's pretty partial that would be indeed kocho. The fact that it's simply falling out on its own is not an impediment to its being considered kocho. According to the Rashba, this would be true even if it were shalom b'chavana. According to the Rush, so if it were shalom b'chavana, that would be a question perhaps, but if it's b'chavana, certainly in that case, where you turn over your hand and let go of a chetz or an eved and allow it to fall, so that would be considered koch gavra. So, likewise, if you were to have a barrel and flip it over, so that would also pretty clearly be a case of koch gavra, and therefore there wouldn't be much of a chiddush here.
And why do I say that? Because clearly in our Gemara, since you're chayv misa, you're dealing where you did this b'chavana. The question you can raise in Kwan Rush is what would be the din if, let's say, well, you do belichavana lin in gulp. So that's a question you could raise. And I think it's possible that you might say nachinami, there the Rush would say that's not koch gavra. I think also it's possible the Rush might be mechalik in different cases, that where you're loosening your grip, so that's only koch adam if it's mechabing sheipo, but if you're doing a maisa such as, let's say, turning over your hand, maybe that would be, which would be parallel to the case that I'm mentioning now, maybe that would be koch gavra even without. Okay, either way, at least bechavana, there's no question this is koch gavra. Yet, there is a shita, not in the Rishonim, but a very influential shita of the Tevuah Shor, the Simcha Chadasha, who had an enormous influence in Hilchos Shechita, basically rewrote the Shulchan Aruch. So the Tevuah Shor, which is his explanation of the Simcha Chadasha, held that nafla miyada o mecheko on its own, right, by force of gravity, even if it's bechavana, it's not considered to be koch gavra, not considered to be maisa agav. Now, it seems clear that the Rush didn't hold that way. At the very least, the Torah Shulchan Aruch, they say explicitly that it's Dafka Shalom B'Chavana. So he claims, first of all, that the Rashba disagreed. The Rashba, and it can take you a second to realize what he means, the Rashba, when he cites this, this is his fundamental position. He then says, and this is in terms of bias, that Mikol Makom, I know the Balei Tosfos, I've seen them, they disagree. They think that Nafla Miyado B'lo Chavana is considered not to be koch gavra, so therefore it's not a good shechita. Therefore, roi l'hafmir. So the Tevuah Shor says, and that was also basically his response to Mishmeres Abayis, the Ra'ah, who we've seen, who challenges Raya from the Gemara Bava Kamma. But his response to the Rav is basically, didn't you hear me? I just said I agree with you. I just said I'm not passing this way. I'm passing that you're to be choshish. So he says maybe the Rashba makes the chiluk, but the Rashba does not. The Rashba thinks that even bechavana. Now it's not in the Rashba that he says that this is true. Even if it's bechavana, the Rashba is only talking about a case originally of shlo bechavana, and he's saying and nonetheless I'm not going to be posting this as a good shchita because I'm machmir. He doesn't say anything about bechavana, but the Tuah Shor thought it did. And he says even the Rosh and the Tur and Shulchan Aruch, he claims that this is for them not an issue of Koch Gavra. He says it's perfectly Koch Gavra. Rather, he said, they just held that there's a din bit shchita that the Rosh held that even though Mesasek and Kachem is Basel is Mechadesh, you need to have Kavana Ksas. When we said that you don't need Kavana B'shchita, it doesn't really mean that. It means you don't need Kavana Gemura for Chaticha for Shchita, but you need Kavana Miksas just as a special local din in Shchita. If you look at the Lashon of the Rush from Mechilas Kvado, it just doesn't sound like that at all. I mean, the Rush had said quite consistently that if not blam sakim yeder b'lachavana, that's just considered to be like munachas ala korah by bilas haruach. The lo karina bevizavachta v'chalda. It's not a separate din of kavana. If you don't have kavana, it's not called gavra. Is the problem? Now, what's interesting about this is he just thought that it made no sense whatsoever to say that that's true. His last line is, do I have it here? No, I don't have it. That was his problem, is that he didn't think it made any sense to say that if you don't have kavana, that whether or not something is called gavra depends on whether or not you have kavana. So first of all, I don't know why he thought that was such a difficult thing to say. I mean, the whole notion of mesasek, particularly like those achronim who think that it isn't maisa adam, so it's all... I mean, clearly kavana can have an impact on whether or not we define something as your maisa. That's in general. Then you have, even with regard to kocha, we saw, I think I mentioned, that the Raivid considered the possibility that even though Maisa b'yadayim, you're going to be chayev mamazik, bein onis bein b'ratzom. But nonetheless, even so, kocha will only be chayev if it's karv l'pshia. And you could say, well, maybe the idea there is that there's just a separate track of chiyuv. I think I may have even suggested that last time. There's just a separate track of chiyuv meaning kocha, because kocha isn't kegufa mamish, and therefore, when we say that you're chayev b'adam mamazik, it's not a because this is a maisa b'gufa. It's just that you also chayev maisa b'kocha, but then you don't have a chiyuv anus v'ratzom. The pashas is not so. The pashas is your chayuv, the whole other mazik's chayuv, bein bonus, bein ratzom, regardless. The only thing is kocho is the kind of thing where it's only you're going to be your maisa if it's the chavana. Because again, as an agent who's projecting his agency and who's manifesting his agency, that's something that you can do if it's intentional. It can be a sholeit on something beyond your physical goof if it's intentional. If not, so then we're not going to view it as you're using that chayuv, which is now released from your grip, as your tool. So Misvara, the simplest thing to say is that's what the Rosh is saying. That this case is sort of a borderline case where it's koch gavra if you have kavana that it should happen. That it's falling on its own doesn't mean it won't be your maisa, but only if you have kavana that's doing it. If you're doing it intentionally, if it's unintentional, no, it won't be koch gavra. That's what it sounds like in the Rosh. I think that's clearly what the Rosh has in mind here as well. Do you find it at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to just read that line?
Last line here. Mavin asa shlo bechavana, asa bechavana, v'chimachshavta mash v'lei koach.
Yeah. V'chimachshavta mash v'lei kocho. Koach, right? So, okay. So that's it for sure. That's his position. Oh, so but now, so if you hold that, when you simply, let's say, let something go, or to even turn it over, that it's not kocho. So what happened to our Gemara? So, first of all, Gemara is not obvious at all. Second of all, it's kasha. Not only is it not obvious, it doesn't seem to be consistent. Gemara is difficult. If nafla mi'atzma isn't koach adam, so how can unloading water be chayav b'ritzicha? What's going on here? And that's true, certainly if it means just removing the daf. But even, let's say, if it's limited to the case which is closer to chayav, where I am flipping something over, I'm flipping the barrel over, still it doesn't seem to be less than flipping over your hand so that the knife falls down. And in fact, the Ramah implicitly confirms this point, because the Ramah says, and we can see from here, that Nafla Miyado, this is at the very end of this long Ramah, Nafla Miyado is considered to be Koach Gavra, because Lo Gara Mi Bitka Demaya. This is the last line here, he says,
that's the one with the...
Vishma Mina, Vishma Mina, Viz Azla Tachas, Vaharga Pat, I'm sorry, Ava Misha Haisa Evin Biyado, Viniskabin Lanicha Kadesh Tipal Ala Adam, Viteharig, Viyarda Vaharga, Chayav, Avagad Olav Kochahu, so we'll get to that. Geiridi Dehu, Delogara Mi Bitka Demaya. The truth is that the Tzvua Shor himself asked this question. And
we'll get to what he suggests, a very, very interesting, very sharp, but also extremely counterintuitive answer, and we'll get to that in a moment. Misvar, one could have considered already, and this is something we'll come back to extensively, being mechav between different tchumim, but misvar, whether or not it would work out in the course is a separate question. But either way, he goes in a different direction, we'll come back to that in a minute. So that's as far as that second case is concerned, the case where I flip over the barrel, and now the water is falling down onto this person. There are two other potential methods that are even more distant than the case of Zrikas Chetz, which do clearly involve more of a chiddush, involve some measure of novelty that this is considered to be kochot. It's not self-evident. You wouldn't have known just from knowing kochot gugupol in Ritzicha that these cases are chayav. First, if you were to tip over a tank of water, let's say. So I'm not holding onto it, right? So in this case, you have tartar derusa. First of all, the water is no fel me'atzma. And second, even if you say that in case where I'm holding the barrel over you, that that's going to be considered kochos, particularly bechavana. But here this seems worse. Why? Because in here, one could have said that your physical act, in this case, is a direct act upon the barrel, namely an act of tipping it over. In the case of where you're marpeyado, or omei benofel, your physical act is—it's true that you don't—it's not propelling it forward, but it's a direct release. It's an act of directly releasing the object. Here, the physical act is not an act upon the object which we're talking about—the projectile. It's an act upon the barrel. It happens to be that when the barrel has been once it's tipped over, so then the water naturally inside spills out on its own. So one could have said, even if I agree that flipping over the barrel is going to be, right, just like flipping over your hand and having the knife fall out. So flipping over the barrel and having the water spill out, that will be considered kocho, even though it's no famiyatsu, even though it looks like it's no famiyatsu, but still, we view you as doing it because it's your act of releasing it, the water. And just as an aside, the fact that you have a barrel, so just in terms of how we view it, that's just a kli biyatcha. So long as you're controlling the barrel is just a tool for you to be grasping the water. So your act is not an act upon the barrel, really. I mean, it could be that too, but the barrel is simply a kli for you to be acting upon the water. So long as you're holding it, you're releasing the water. It's just a method of turning over your hand for the water. But if you release the barrel, you're no longer holding on. So the act that you did was tipping over the barrel, so the water, you could have claimed, is no longer something which you're acting upon directly. And therefore, even if nofel me'atzma in theory could be considered a case of kocho, this won't be. So you could have said that. But it seems from our Gemara that this too would be kocho. Either way, that's not something which we knew until now. And then finally we come to the case of the Ramah, which I think is even more distant, the case of Hasarat Moneya. L'chora, this is no better, and it's probably worse than the previous case. It's probably less reason to have assumed this would be kocho l'inyan ritzicha. Because here you could say that I'm just removing, what are you doing here? You're just removing the impediment to the flow of the water. You're just negating something that was impeding its ability to continue on its course. So it's one thing if the water is in the barrel, right? Even if, let's say, I agree. If the water's in the barrel, and I flip it over, or I even tip it over, so that'll be considered me sort of propelling the water forward. Why? Because naturally in the barrel is stationary. So I am doing an act which is a revolution for it. It required a mapecha, literally, flipping over, in order to have it go forward, to have it be nofel on its own. So if I do that, so we view you as unleashing the water there. But in the case of Hasaras Moneya, so it's quite clear, you could have said, even forgetting all the other points, here you're simply removing an impediment. Its natural state is not stationary here. The only thing that's preventing it from moving is something which is in its way. So when you remove that thing which is in its way, and then it continues on its own, so that, you could have said, is not kocho. And that's, the Ramah explains it, that's exactly the chiddush in this Gemara. Oh, and then the Ramah says not only is this a chiddush, that this is considered to be kocho and it's considered to be gere, he has a kasha from Tris. He says it's not only that we don't know from what we've seen until now that this would be the kind of thing where we would say it's chitza, but we have a principle that seems to tell us that it isn't chitza, namely the case of Tris. Right? He says, after all, what mashinami Tris? In the case of Tris, you're simply removing an impediment, and that allows the arrow to go on the natural course. And where they've said the Masalik Tris is Pater. So why is the Masalik Tris Pater, but the Masalik, or the Masir HaMa'akev, the Moneya, is Chayim? And just to read this point, between my the Mashna, Midrabba Damar Zark Bukhes just be other buzzam and not low, I feel who could keep him in not low, put the beginning of the shadow miss Sigari, I'm Avagad the Kashakile, Lahum Midam, the have a Mafsik Bine, Uben Gary, the Shabbe, Shadabe Potter, because again, Hachad Honey Gary Lab Mikoko, Kazli, my Machai. Right? And after all, there you're talking about the Zorik himself was also Masalik. Here, the water's just on its own. So, I think the answer to that is pretty simple. Clearly, we're going to be mechalik between a case where you're simply removing the thing which isn't yet an impediment, but which, had it continued to be there, would have been an impediment. So there, in that case, you're removing something from getting in the way in the first place. Here, the thing is an impediment, it's blocking it. So here, in a sense, you're unleashing the water, whereas in the case of Chetz, in the case of Zorik Chetz, in Tris Biado, the Tris never actually blocked, was not an impediment to the Chetz. It would have been, but you removed it in time. So now the Chetz just continues on. So there you're not unleashing the Chetz. Here you are. Here you're unleashing the water. Okay. So the Gemara says, therefore, it's your Chayev because it's Geri. So what is the Kamash Malan here? So here I think we're going to choose two general directions. First is what is if you assume that Garmi is Chayev Ritzicha. So then you could say, maybe the Gemara is saying, in a chinam, Mitzad kocho masa, this is not koch gavra, this is not maisa ada. Maybe because no fel me'atzmo, but even all these things up to hasaras moneya, no. Hasaras moneya is not maisa or koch ada. It doesn't meet the standard of maisa rigbidayim or kocho. Nonetheless, you're chayev. Why? Because garmi is chayev, and this is garmi. So that requires, obviously, two assumptions. First, that bitkid maya the koch rishim qualifies as garmi. That obviously requires analysis in light of two issues. First, just what is the case of bitkid maya the koch rishim? What is koch rishim? In particular. And second, what is the criteria for garment? So we can come back to that afterwards. But the second, that you'd have to assume first that it does in fact qualify as garment. And secondly, that garment is chai beretzicha.
Also, koach sheni is not garment.
You'd only be able to say that garment is chai beretzicha if you held garment that koach sheni is the. Right, that's not a separate premise. Right. In order to say that garment is chai beretzicha, you also have to then assume that koach sheni wouldn't be garment. So
right.
You'd have to find out how that would work. Right, so we'll come back to that. But more likely, and this is what the Ramah says, what the Gemara is saying is, no, in fact, this is Kocho. Just as Zorei Chetz is Kocho, so too is this. And the Ramah himself gives a definition of it. He says, even though it's not literally Kocho, came the Machmas Maase, didei ka'azli k'kochodam. Since it is your act which unleashes the water, we view it as you unleashing the water, as projecting the water, as k'kocho. And he actually brings an interesting raya. He says, after all, what's the raya? Anybody see it?
Which of the Ramah?
Yeah. He says that they're all chetz. Because
if the chetz hit the shield, it wouldn't go any further.
No. He brings now a raya that this is in fact the principle that cold and that machmas ma'asav, holich, you consider to be your koach. His raya is, even though he didn't actually project it forward, is chetz.
Oh, the ari.
No, it's chetz. He says, after all,
you don't throw the ari, you string.
Yeah, well, right, exactly. He says, "Lo tishlat davar gadol lav kochu came the machas masa diday kazli kochu dami dahagerei ki kazli lav machas kochu kazli and the machas the shavik litra shal keshes kazli gerei meila mechayv alayu achanami loshna." Right. So just like in the case of chetz, so you merely what's your act? Your act is simply removing your holding back the chetz, and then it goes on its own. So too here. Well, that raya, as far as the raya is concerned, I think that's very far from ironclad. In that case of the chetz, you're using a kli. The kli which you use is what is projecting and propelling it forward. You're pulling back on the bow, and then it flies forward. So it's not you're not just letting it go. You found a method of amplifying force so that it can go projected forward. So that's your kli that is propelling it forward. In that case, it's not no fel me'atzmo there. Whereas in our case, here, the thing that you're moving is simply something which is preventing it from going on its own. So the why is a little bit questionable. Either way, the Ramah doesn't make the chiluk. For him, the principle is anytime the mass of holei chamayim or hadavar, that has a din of geiri. Okay. So coming back to the tuah shor, so what was the tuah shor's response to this? So, again, the Ramah himself thought that this proves that at the very least, letting go of something is kocho la delo gara. How could that be worse? So Tuah Shor suggests, you know what, gara. It's worse. And he says something which is, again, ingenious, but also counterintuitive to the point of being a little bit hard to believe, but he says that letting go, that Hasaras HaMoneya, that's the case he addresses, Hasaras HaMoneya, which he thinks is, you know, he interprets that as Bid Demaya, so it's actually better than Nafal Miyad. Why? He says, letting go, you're only, what you're doing, Sach HaKol, is you're removing yourself from the picture. He says, an act, this is not an act of unleashing it, it's an act of getting out of the way. where you are what's Ma'akiv, so good, so now you're not Ma'akiv. So what you've done is you made yourself not a Ma'akiv. Well, you haven't released the water then, now it's just, you're going back to its status quo before you came. But in a case where you remove something, some third thing, which is in its way, so there's, what's your contribution? You've actually removed something which is in its way. Your role here is positive, so we view you as unleashing. Whereas if it's just you're holding it up, and then you remove your hand, so you've just erased your own role in this, but you haven't actually contributed anything positive. So according to him, it sounds like, if you were to, in fact, let go of a knife over somebody, fatah. Ramabama. So as Rabbi Tzidur of Cook says, Sof davar lo zachiti lehavin dvar avzal. He says, L'dvar v'ayin nira, im yikach adam evin gedola biyado, sheyesh bo kedei lehamis, b'chavana yanichen lipol ha'adam acher, lo liharig, mibnei she'en ki im gorim. V'adavar temu alo nitan leyam mer klal, v'ech efshar lomar she'im hichzik sakim biyado, ba'ad chavero pasach la biyado, kedei she'tipo yeh pater. U'ki ha'gavno k'shepasach mayim chayim, meaning, Hasaras HaMoneya. So the truth is, I don't know. I mean, the question is, I'm assuming, but I think it's a fair question to ask, that the case I mentioned before, where you're holding the thing over him, so I'm assuming that the truth is, I think Gesh Lodin, whether or not whether Tuvashor thinks about that, is that maybe that'll have the din of just removing yourselves. Particularly if I'm right, that it's just a kli biyadcha, so fine, so now you're just removing, again, yourself. The kli is not a separate thing here, it's just your tool, so if you're removing it...
What sense are you removing it?
Huh?
What sense are you actually removing it?
The thing which is preventing it from going, the bottom.
On the bottom of it.
I'm turning it over. So, but if the whole thing was that, if the thing on the bottom is really just viewed as my hand, as an extension of my hand, so long as I'm controlling it, so you might just say, well, when I, you know, flip it over, so at that point it's just removing myself.
Even the first
or maybe you'll say no. Maybe you'll say, Nachinami, if I put a knife or an Eved Gedola in a kli, and then flip it over, maybe he'll say there it has a din of Hasaras HaMoneya since the kli is something else. So your contribution here is good, or maybe he'll say no, that's nechanami. It's strange, but either way, that's what the Tzvua Shor says. So according to him, needless to say, our Gemara is tremendously mechudash because Ad Kan we thought that if I just let something drop out of my hand, so that's not koko. Comes the Tzvua Shor and says, you know what, the Gemara here, it's telling you that that's true if what you're removing is yourself. But if you're removing is something else, there, chai. Okay. So I've gone just in terms of the Shakot HaRei Gemara here. So the question that we're going to look into in order to further understand this maskana, that koach rishon at the very least is chayiv, and also we'll see, start to get into the question of tur koach sheni, is what is the din of bitka demai in other areas of halacha, where you need or you require koach or maisa adam. In particular, we're going to focus on two other contexts. Shechita and Netilas Yadayim. Right, what is the din, if we could think of a comparable case, in these areas of halacha? So first, regarding Shechita, we know that we saw, we need Maisa Adam, Zavata v'chalta v'mashata v'zaveach ta'achel, right, where it's something which is nafla, yidei ruach, or miatma, right, there it isn't good enough. So what would be the din? So luckily enough, who raises this question? The Gemara in Chulin, Daf Tezlein, raises this issue. The Gemara there contends that Shechita b'mochani, you have some sort of contraption, some sort of wheel. So the Gemara there says, in one case, it says that... Actually, I have the Gemara Chulin. So the Gemara says... Yeah, it's the Gagal case, right? So the Gemara says, Shechita b'mochani, Shechita so kshera. Batanya, Shechita so psula. So that's a big problem. It says, lo kashir, ha, so this is the Lishon Kam. Ha besarna de pachra. Besarna de pachra is where we're talking about a wheel where you have a knife somehow tied on to the wheel. So that if you roll the wheel, the knife comes around and around. Right? So that's the case of Shechita b'mochani. So the Gemara says, if it would be a Sarnit Hachra, where what moves the pegs is the person. In other words, I push it forward. Sort of like a Wheel of Fortune wheel, right? So if that's what you're doing, is that you're grabbing a peg and then flinging it forward or rotating it around, so that's Sarnit Hachra. So the Gemara says, that's good. That works, that's Kalach Gabra. But if it's Sarnit Maya, which is where you have water, what you do is not touch, you don't touch a thing at all. You have water come along, the sheets of wood or whatever the material is, the tread, isn't pushed by a person, rather it's you allow mine to go through, and the water is what pushes it, there you're going to be possible. That's not considered to be Koch Gabra. So just the fact that starting to Pachra is Koch Gabra is not surprising. The idea being, this is just a Kli Yadcha. It's just a fancy knife. It's a fancy, you know, you're clever, so you've managed to come up with a fancy knife, which is a contraption here that you're, the whole thing is basically your Kli, at the end of which is a knife. So that's considered to be something that you're wielding when you push it, when you physically grasp it and you physically push it. But Sarnit Maya, the Gemara says, that's no good. Where you just merely remove the lid, the slab of preventing the water from coming forth, and allow the water to move on and have the water do it, so that's not going to be good. That's not Koch Gabra. Then the Gemara says, okay, I'll give you a different answer. What's a different answer? The Ibai Zema, Haba Ha, Sarnit Maya, Belo Kasha, Haba Koch Rishon, Haba Koch Sheni. V'chihada amar Rav Papa, Haiman di kafti lechavri v'ashkel alei mitkadamaya v'meis chayev. My time agiri di dehu dahani bei v'hani mili b'koch rishon v'koch sheni grama v'amahu. Ah, so the Lishna Basra in the Gemara says, Ibai Zema, we're dealing with Sarn Demaya, right? The water wheel, and there's a difference between koch rishon and koch sheni. Now, presumably, we're going to have to say whatever the koch rishon koch sheni was in the case of a bitka de maya, that's going to be there too. So presumably you just have to say that according to, the koch rishon is kiluach rishon, so then what we're saying is the first initial spurt, presumably the first initial sivuv, that's what a lot of rishonim assume, they think it's kiluach rishon, and therefore what we're talking about here is sivuv harishon. Presumably according to the Rabbi, what we're talking about is where the water falls directly upon the spikes, or whatever it is, not spikes, because that wouldn't get any friction against the water. I don't know what the word for that thing is. You know, come out like the tread. What?
Those are all spokes.
Because if it were just pipes or rods, so then you probably wouldn't have a water wheel work so well because the water will just go right by. It doesn't create enough leverage. And what's that thing called?
I'm on the water wheel page on Wikipedia.
There's a water wheel page?
Oh, come on.
I should have looked up water wheel.
Do that.
No, that's exactly what you need to do. Why not? Kabelas MSU Moshe Amra.
He needs to know it on his own.
No, that's not. If you were an engineer, maybe. The thing, if you find it, let me know.
Yeah, I think it's just calling them blades or buckets.
Blades! Okay, blades. What?
Blades or buckets.
Buckets.
But you're thinking of blades, probably.
All right, let's say a wide blade. Whatever those things are called. So, according to the Rav Yehuda, you'd probably interpret it in probably Rashi, too, that it's falling either directly or right close to those things. So it's not a channel, in other words. It's just falling directly onto the blades. Whereas koch sheni is where there's some sort of channel or some sort of ground where it goes on first and then it hits it. Okay? Now you can have both. The Ramah actually himself thinks you need both of these things. In the end, that's just his opinion that he thinks koch rishon requires both of these things. And then if that's the case, then we're talking about specifically the initial water that comes out and hits the thing initially. Otherwise, it's koch sheni and no good. So the Gemara says that that's what we're talking about here, right? We're talking about Sarna de Maya is considered to be Koch Gabra, the Koch Rishon, Koch Sheni, but considered to be non-Koch Gabra, Grom Ba'ama. Therefore, the Shechita is Kshera, the Koch Rishon, and Pasul, the Koch Sheni, and you know what? So we have a Raya of the Gemara Sanhedrin, that Koch Rishon are Chayav, Veritzicha, and Koch Sheni are not. So the question is, that's the Lishna Basu. What was the Lishna Kamasu? So here, just a priori could either be that Nechanami doesn't disagree with Dina, just had a different answer. Just wanted to offer a different resolution. Alternatively, no. It didn't offer this resolution, this suggestion of the Mechagi Koch, Rishon Koch Sheni, because even though, and here we're assuming, even though we acknowledge the din of Rapapa with regard to Ritzicha, but the Lishna Kama didn't agree that this was the din, that would be the din in the context of Shechita. Even the Koch Rishon, in this case, would be Pasal. Shechita would be Pasal. That was the Lishna Kama. Therefore, the only case that the Gemara could think of Shechita B'mochani being Kasher is the case of Sarnit Hachra, not Sarnit Maya. So if that's the case, so then what emerges is, according to the Lishna Kama, There's a chiluk between shechita and ritzicha regarding bitka demaya bekoach rishon. So the question we're going to ask is, what's the basis for this chiluk? Why would we say such a thing? Okay, so let's stop here. I think.